Hello and welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 50. And the crowd goes wild, and yes, it's our 50th Insight. We've been doing these for over a year now. I was just looking back, and the third Insight was discussing Nokia World, and indeed we're going to be talking about that at the end of the show. But I think first we've got some news of an incoming Samsung device from Steve.
Yeah, just before I mention that, I should mention that you're catching me up fast. My smartphone show, or phone show as I now call it, is up to 69, so I'm ahead of you, but I do one a fortnight. We do one of these each week, so at some point there's going to be a bit of a catch-up. So congratulations anyway to Rafe and all the organisation behind the audio and video podcast. Anyway, moving on, the Samsung i7110, which we saw at the smartphone show a month or so ago, is due for arrival in the next hour or so, I think, at AAS Towers. And in fact, by the time you hear this, we should have been playing with it, and there should be something up on the site. Just to explain why Rafe and I are quite excited about this particular device. Being both fans of the candy bar form factor, a la the Nokia N78, N79, N82, and so on, this actually combines some of the hottest technology from the rest of the smartphone and S60 world, all in the one device. So, for example, you've got the OLED screen, as on the N85, you know, glorious colours in almost all light conditions. There's a 5-megapixel stills camera. There's VGA video recording with initial focusing, so you can focus your videos. Very important for me in particular. Big fan of that. It's a 2.6-inch screen rather than 2.8, but I can live with that as it's a candy bar, so it's still a bigger screen than any other S60 candy bar I can think of. All the usual gadgets, including GPS, geotagging of photos, Wi-Fi, full USB 2 transfer speeds, WMV playback. I think this is Feature Pack 2, Rafe, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yep, so you've got all the codec support you want for audio and video. So there's just a tremendous amount of toys on this and technology all crammed into one robust device. It's a candy bar. Hey, what can break? There are no bits to slide, swivel, and fall off. So very much looking forward to this. I know I keep saying about this about all the shiny new toys, but this is a particular highlight, and we'll be bringing it to you over the next week or so.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this one too. Just to reiterate what Steve said, I mean, to my mind, this is really the Samsung's version of the N85, but in a candy bar form factor. And, you know, we've had mixed fortunes with slides over the years in terms of robust. I do actually think the N85's pretty good, but Samsung have also added in the FM transmitters we've got on the recent Nokia devices, and this has got the same optical mousepad joystick thing as the i850. That's the sort of central bit of the D-pad, the touch sensitive control, which is in some ways a bit of a gimmick, but I've actually found it a real boon when you're doing web browsing. So yes, I'm looking forward to seeing this phone as well, and you can expect a full review of it sometime probably in the next week or so on the site, and we'll have an initial look in the next few days, I imagine. So moving on to more hardware, we've just been mentioning the N85, and I know Ewan's been had one of these for about a week now, so would you like to share your first thoughts on this, Ewan?
Yes, the N85, Nokia's latest N-series device. It's a lower number than the N95s, but many people are regarding it as a potential replacement, which is interesting, given that the N96 is out there as well. Great specs. It is the OLED screen, Carl Zeiss lens, 5-megapixel, the Xenon flash. It is a Xenon flash, isn't it, Steve?
No, it's not.
It's not, it's a double LED. Oh, right, okay. It looks like cat's eyes, actually, in the back of the phone, like you get in the middle of a road. And it's just, it's got this very trapezoidal sort of cross-section shape. It's a dual-way slider. And I know that I've complained previously on these shows, and indeed on the site, about this Nokia's new style, especially around the N81 devices that I've had my hands on previously. And again, we've got the little multimedia key and the silver cursoring. But in actual fact, I actually think that the keypad, before you slide it up, it's actually very good, because this is with the two soft keys, the application, the clear button, which kind of sit at the corners of this entire plastic section that actually rocks. I'm still not enamored with this new thin cursor that also has a scroll wheel on it. When you stick it next to the N95, The N95 is much larger in terms of profile and vertical difference in heights on its cursor, which makes it, on my large thumb, very easy to hit the up, down, left and right, which is important in games playing, especially in stuff like the N-Gage. The N85 looks much more stylish, but it has less of a vertical profile, which means on a large thumb like mine, it's very hard to do up, down, left, right without hitting any of the other directions. It also doesn't help that I've got nails as long as your typical drag queen in La Cage aux Folles, but that's by the by. That just means women can't use it properly either. It's the cursor D-pad that's going to take a long time to grow on me. I've had to switch off the scrolling, mainly because it's not consistent. Some menus have it, some menus don't. Some icon screens have it, some don't. And I really think it's like touch. It needs to be an all or nothing. You can't go, oh, I wonder if scroll works in this menu on this application. Moving up, it's the sort of flat keys, single panel, they're not individual keys. But to be honest, this is much more improved over the N81 keypad. I like this keypad. It's quite easy to hit the correct key. There's a large target area. But the thing that I really like about this, and this might seem incredibly small and twee, it's the fact that when the screen goes into standby, it still keeps the time as illuminated pixels. And that just, you know, the phone as something that is always with you, that's sitting by your bed at night, you don't have to reach over, open the slider, press some buttons to get up. It just shows the time. It is a small touch. But it really does actually make me think that someone's taken time and care over that part of the interface of the phone. What would be nice is if the rest of the phone had the same level of care. I've already mentioned that's the problem with the scrolling cursor. And I'm finding another couple of issues like that as I'm going through, but nothing that I'm really set on that I could say at the moment. But there will be a series of review articles looking at the hardware, the software, the interface as it goes through on All About Symbian over the next week or two.
Yeah, can I just mention for listeners that this sort of lit up time that's always on there, that's just a function of the fact that it's an OLED screen. But by the very nature, to display anything on these screens, the pixels need to light themselves up. And just to be the same on the i7110, of course. So the fact that you've got a screensaver physically there in data form on being represented on the screen, by definition, those pixels cannot exist without being lit up. So it's kind of a side effect of that technology, but I do agree with you, and it's a very, very handy side effect, because I can't count the number of times. I know that there's a time on my Nokia smartphone screen, and I have to, as Ewan said, fiddle around in the dark trying to get the magic key press that actually shows it on the screen with the backlight coming up. So, yeah, thumbs up for me on that as well.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, it's a similar sort of function, but on the E71, when that's locked, if you press the central D-pad, it just lights up the time. And, you know, again, it's the same sort of little touches. I mean, the thing that struck me about the N85, and I don't know whether you'll agree with this, Ewan, is it's a lot more compact than the sort of the N95 and the N96, yet has pretty much the same technology in it, or arguably a few extras with things like the FM transmitter and the better screen. But you know, we've seen over the years this sort of technology that first came in with the N95, and I'm thinking the 5-megapixel camera and the GPS, and I think the N85 is the sort of most mature example of that, and that's reflected in a lot of the hardware design, but also a little bit in the software. I think this is the first time you've used Feature Pack 2 software, so what have you been making of that?
So one of the things that I'm finding about Feature Pack 2, which is quite upsetting, is the font size. And again, it's one of these small touches. And this is one that actually lets it down. Because it has the smaller screen, it's 2.6 as opposed to 2.8-inch or something weird like that. Nokia have made the decision to use larger fonts, which means that you're presenting less information on the screen than you are on the N95 and similar-sized devices. Now, the screens are still 240 by 320 pixels, and I really wish Nokia would give up me the choice as a user. There's just so much more information that these screens can handle. And, you know, there is an option in the tool setting for your font size, small, medium, and large. But even on the smallest screen size, you're losing a line or two in your email, so you're seeing less emails, you're seeing less texts on your screen. You're seeing less information from photos, icons, and things like, for example, Sports Tracker. The four icons take up the entire screen, and on the N95, it takes up about two-thirds of the screen. Now, you're still showing the same information there, but you've got a third of the screen left over. And in other applications, that, you know, you could squeeze a lot of information in there. And I like to see as much as possible on one screen. I don't want to be scrolling around. I want to be able to pick up the phone and just look at it and see my life. And Nokia are actually saying, well, because you've went for a more fashionable device, because you've got a slightly smaller screen, we've decided to make everything bigger for you like you're old. And I know I've just had my birthday and everybody jokes that I am officially old now, but that's not the point. I've had an option taken away from me. And I think that, you know, there's no software reason why that needs to be done. It's a style choice. And Nokia are so up on doing themes and making the phone your own, but they're not giving me that choice there. And that's kind of upsetting me. So yeah. If anybody has a hack for that, they let me know.
I should just point out that that's not, you know, anything specific to Feature Pack 2 or Feature Pack 1.
Nokia like that in everything they do.
It's a design decision that they made. On the 2.8-inch screens, you do actually get the extra icons. Like on the standby screen, I think you get 7 icons rather than 5 or 6. And you get the same thing on the N96, i.e. you get the smaller font size in the menu and more space. Whereas on the screens with on the device with smaller screens, they go down. Steve, I know you've been using the N79. What do you get on that in terms of font sizes?
It's very similar to the N82, which I've also been using, except for the fact that the fonts are emboldened. They use a slightly different to darker font, which actually makes a big difference. These devices like the N79 have got 2.4-inch screen, which is on the small side, so you need every bit of clarity you can get, really. I know we've talked about themes in the past, and the very first thing I did with this N79 was slap the White Revisited theme on it, because it just makes so much difference in terms of clarity. And when you've got a tiny screen, to have confusing patterns and swirls and things in the background just really doesn't help. Shall I go on with my general impressions of the N79, Rafe?
Yes, I think you might as well. I mean, we've covered the N85 there. I'm sure Ewan will be reporting back once he's had a bit more real-world usage. But it's interesting to see there are tweaks with these font sizes that do make a difference about the size of devices. And although we talk about resolution and the desire for high-resolution devices a lot, it's just important to realise you can make tweaks in terms of the size of the graphics and the font sizes. But yes, so Steve, the N79, I mean, this strikes me as a sort of very much an N73 type replacement, you know, the N series phone for the masses. I mean, of course, that's a relative term when we talk about N series. So what's been your impression of this? I know you've posted a review on the site, but was it, I mean, you had a few criticisms, but, you know, what was your overall conclusion?
I have to conclude that from the point of view of being an N73 replacement, you know, the mass market, mid-tier, pretty competent device, I think it will do well, and it's good, but the initial start price, as I mentioned in my conclusion on the review, is high at the moment. There's no way on earth anyone should rush out and buy this, even in the high street, SIM-free, and they won't. You'll see this in the high street. In the next month or two, it'll be up on contract at £25 a month, and lots of people will buy it. And I think lots of people would largely be very happy. The bit that long-time readers of the site will understandably not be surprised at. I rather dismiss the fashionable Express On covers. It really is just a complete gimmick. I really don't want my theme changing every time I fiddle with the battery or change a SIM card. It's just so annoying. Thankfully, that can be turned off. But away from the fashion side of things, it's actually a very good phone. It's got a really decent-sized battery. It's got the same 1,200 mAh battery that the N95 8GB has, but powering a smaller screen with lower intensity and less going on, you'd hope. Yes, and as we were talking about candy bars, again, the N79 is a candy bar, which means it's going to be very robust anyway. There are less bits to break. It seems to be pretty well sealed. There are fewer creaks than on the N82, for example. The Feature Pack 2 software I really like. I mean, once you turn the transitions off, which is just annoying, as we've covered before, once that's off, the little tweaks here and there, the extra menu options, the extra things. Think, for example, you're in the camera. Everyone knows this S60 third edition camera software. In the N79, you can actually customize the toolbar. they're gradually adding little tweaks like that, so you can adjust it. So, for example, if you don't use the self timer much, or you don't use the colour correction, you can remove those or move them off, move them down the toolbar, and put the things you do use higher up, so that there are less key presses to get them. And that's just a small example of some of the little tweaks that I think people will be very happy with here. I have to say, what Nokia have done with their video recording software, their capture software in the camera on the N79 and on the N96. I really need some more information on this, and we'll bring that to you on the site in the next few weeks. But I'm not quite sure what Nokia have done, whether it's intentional or unintentional, but video recording on the N79 was very unimpressive, and everything seemed out of focus, even when you shooting something that's a long way away. So I'm going to bring you an editorial on this as part of my camera nitty-gritty series, I suspect, in a few weeks' time, and we'll try to get to the bottom of this. The N79, just to summarize it, I have to say it's a terrific phone for the value that people will end up getting it at. It's not terrific value SIM-free, but yes, it will have a fairly long life. I think it'll do Nokia very well into 2009, but the people like the All About Symbian readers, Cognoscenti, is that pronounced right? They're going to be looking for the next device, that perhaps an N82 replacement, an N96 replacement, the touch-screened N-series. There are quite a few devices to really aim at other than the N79. But for the mass market, for the people in the high street on low to mid tariffs, I think the N79 will do very well.
I agree with you,
Steve.
There
is still a high street in the UK.
Thank you, Ewan. Yeah, I certainly agree with you there, Steve. I wouldn't be quite so dismissive of the fashionable features. It may not be for you, but I suspect more N79s will be sold because of the changeable covers than any other single factor. The other thing I'd sort of bring to people's attention, as you rightly say, it's not the sort of people who are going to be listening to this podcast and maybe not regular readers of the site. Although personally, I think this is a really nice phone, and maybe if you're carrying around an E71 and want an N series as a kind of multimedia tool, the N79 would make for an ideal companion device for those people. But where the N73 sort of bought S60 and to a lesser extent camera phone and sort of web browsing to a sort of bigger audience, I actually think the N79 is significant because it brings things like Nokia Music, it has the music store of course, also Nokia Maps and other future OV services. It's got Engage on it as well. So I think it brings those kind of services, the OV vision, if you will, that Nokia has to a much bigger market than has been the case thus far. You know, with devices like the N85 and the N96, they're pretty high end, and the N78 never really quite had the success maybe that Nokia hoped. I'm dismissing it despite the fact it's only 6 months old, but I think the N79 will do a lot better than the N78. So that kind of taking the kind of the Nokia strategy in terms of as an internet company, as sort of internet aware devices, service driven, is something that I think will be crucial in the next year or so, because the N79, just as the N73 did it beforehand, will outsell any other N series device. You know, you can expect this probably on its own to sell in the region of 10 or more million phones over the next year, because it will be available on operators, you know, on pretty low tier contracts, maybe £25 a month. And in 6 months' time, you know, the price difference for something like the N82 will go away. And actually, you know, ultimately the N82 and the N79 address different bits of the market, and there'll be an N82 replacement, no doubt, sometime next year. And the N79 will kind of be the entry-level N series. You know, we always have this issue with launch prices, but, you know, that quickly goes away. But thank you very much for that roundup, Steve. And if you want to know more, you can read Steve's N79 review, which is on the site, and there'll be a link in the show notes. The next thing I wanted to talk about very briefly was the Nokia 5800. Now, I've been playing with this for the last month, and there's a preview on the site, and we're going to be getting sort of the release software quite soon, and I think Steve will be handing that in probably the tail end of next week. But what's struck me about this is, you know, this is the big thing about this is, of course, that it's a touch phone, yet the more I play with it, the more I sort of go, really, touch is just an enabler to, you know, and let you use the device in a slightly different way. And while all the focus is around how exciting touch is and the number of touch devices coming onto the market in 2009, really, I think it's rather irrelevant in one sense, because it's still really all about services, especially as far as Nokia is concerned. But the other thing I wanted to address with the 5800 was it's being sort of compared a lot to things like the Sony Ericsson Xperia, another touch device, to the G1 from Google and T-Mobile, obviously the Apple iPhone, the Samsung Omnia. But I think it's worth pointing out it really does fit into a different device sort of segment, because it is a lot cheaper than all of those devices. And this is a crucial difference which doesn't get talked about very much between sort of open platform phones from other manufacturers and open platform phones from Nokia. Nokia really are addressing two very different kinds of markets, if you like. You know, they are competing in the high end with the iPhone, with devices like the N96 and future N series touch devices. But in terms of open platform phones in the mass market, I'm talking here anything sort of below the €250 mark. So it's devices, maybe the €300 mark, you know, devices like the N79, the Nokia 5800, the E63, the 5320, and no doubt more devices to come, where there really isn't any other open platform phone sort of competing in quite that competitive way in such a in the global market, at least. And so, you know, we talk a lot about which open platform phone is best, and it really, in one sense, that's irrelevant, because what you have to look at is which is the most widespread platform across a broad portfolio of devices. And S60 here has a very significant lead, which I think is underestimated by many commentators. And yes, I think there is a battle at the high end, and honestly, I think Nokia are probably losing it at the moment. You know, a device like the N96 is probably going to lose out to the iPhone for most people. And even if you look at future devices, that will presumably change, but there's going to be an awful lot of competition at that high end, and there'll be new Android handsets, there'll be probably new Windows Mobile handsets from Sony Ericsson, and while Nokia will continue to keep, and I expect them to do quite well, I think it'll be a relatively level playing field for the time being. I think services may become more important towards the latter half of 2009 as a differentiator at the high end, but if you look towards the sort of the mid-tier part of the market, really, S60 is still very dominant here, and in the long term, I think that will probably end up being quite important, simply because it will become about economies of scale. And while at the moment people talk about the success of something like the Android marketplace and indeed the iPhone App Store, I think that's going to be replicated. And you know, there's still an issue about how widely does that apply to the mass market. So the purpose of this sort of long-flowing bit of waffle is just to point out that when you look at this sort of open platform phone market, you know, yes, by all means, look at the high end, and yes, you know, recent shipment numbers and sort of reviews would show that Nokia is getting a lot of competition, and you can only really say about time too. You know, finally, people are starting to catch up. Yet, if you look at the way open platform phones are developing lower down the market, there is very little competition for Symbian, and that's both a good and a bad thing. Good in the, from the point of view of Nokia, but it would be encouraging to see others entering there. And if we look at sort of the lower-end Windows Mobile phones, they're not really able to compete with Nokia in terms of specifications and the price point. So, you know, when I say, look, you know, you hear a lot about the smartphone market nowadays, and it's becoming, you know, people talk about the iPhone is the ultimate. At the end of the day, you still have to consider the entire marketplace from a global point of view. And so I think S60 remains very successful there. So after that long-winded ramble, have you guys got anything to add into that? Evidently not.
No. I mean, I've some things that I'd love to tell people about, but none of them are in that sort of space. And again, it's almost like a signal-to-noise ratio. The high-end phones, the phones like the iPhone, like the N96, even like the 79 and the 85, generate a lot of noise online on the blogosphere and so on. And I'm even thinking of things like the recently launched BlackBerry Storm, for example. But the majority of value to these companies, where their actual bottom line is impacted, are on the sort of mid to lower tier models. Yet, these companies have to keep talking to the sort of high-end models, because that's where publicity comes from, and the money comes from somewhere else. The interesting thing now is that because of the reduction of costs, because of a greater need for more technology in our pockets, we're actually starting to find a little bit of crossover with these, you know, powerful phones, but they are in a point where they do have a big impact on a company's bottom line. I mean, Apple, naturally, because they only have the one device, the iPhone is a huge bearing on their bottom line and can significantly make a change to their stock price. It's It's always a tough balance, these companies. You know, the companies that only deal with smaller and cheaper handsets don't get any press at all. And, you know, they sort of lose their sexiness, as it were. And the companies that only have top-end devices have very rabid fans who are all over the devices and love the changes. Yet, it's just... You know, it's not enough. They need more. Apple has, you know, MacBooks, the computing business, the actual physical MP3 player and iTunes store. They need more than just a high-end phone. A company needs to have a lot of breadth. It also now, you know, with the economy going in the next 2 years, are going to need quite a bit of depth of resources as well. And you really need a balanced portfolio for that. So we may see some companies that are biasing towards one or the other as struggling, certainly in probably Q3, Q4 next year.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right, Euron. And what you say about sort of the aspirational and the marketing and the promotion is quite right too. And I said there's no competition from open platform phones. Of course, there is competition from Series 40. This week we've seen, I think, the 6220 announced, which is actually a higher specification than many S60 phones, yet is powered using Series 40 6 edition. We also mentioned the Ink One, the 3 so-called Facebook phone coming, and that actually provides more competition that if S60 in the mid-tier than any of these other ones do. And as I say, I think you're spot on there. Also with the economy, you know, prices going to become a lot more important in the next 2 years.
Yeah, and the other thing to think of is network turnover. The networks have got most people on long contracts, 18 months in the last year, and a lot of them are now only 24 months. So, you know, are people going to be ready to buy new phones next year? Well, they're all on long-term contracts because they've been getting this year's high-class model. And, you know, it's certain websites have let it be known that Nokia have plans for next year. I'm sure Apple do as well. I'm sure Samsung. They all have high-end, high-ticket phones that are going to come out. And I really don't know if people are going to be A, willing to buy them because of the economy and recession, able to buy them because they're still in a long-term contract, or have the confidence to put out an extra £200 or £300, certainly in the UK, when, you know, that might be getting pushed back up next year. And if we have a 5% jump from 15% to 20% VAT, that's going to add in the best part of £40 on a new phone.
Yeah, I just want to come back on the Rick was talking about the new Nokia Series 40 device which outspecs most S60 devices, and I think I mentioned before the Sony Ericsson C905, which I had in here last week. Again, you know, terrific phone in every regard, in terms of Wi-Fi, 8 megapixel camera, Xenon flash, video light, every multimedia gadget you can think of, all in a non-smartphone OS package. So that there is a tremendous competition in this high-end. And I think I agree with Rafe that in some ways you could see Nokia is actually losing this. They're still shipping lots and lots of devices, but they've certainly got to watch themselves. They're being prodded from every conceivable angle.
Yeah, I mean, mobile's always fierce in terms of competition. And I think next year we're going to see innovation both in hardware and, more importantly, in software. But also, you know, as Euron was saying about the economic situation, that affects the operators as well. You know, for when they take on these high-end handsets, they have to subsidize them to a greater extent. And actually, they make more money out of a customer who goes on to a sort of £25, £30 contract on a phone that costs them maybe £100 or £200. And when they're putting them onto the same contract with a £400 or £500 phone, even if the ARPU is a little bit higher, it takes a while to kick in. And as you say, Euron, there's the 18-month contract. That's actually part of the explanation why smartphone sales, at least from the Nokia point of view, have softened a little bit in Europe in the sort of last year or so. But I think we probably will see people holding off on renewing contracts just a few months, and that will have a knock-on effect. I mean, we don't mean to be all doom and gloom here. I mean, I still think ultimately having an open platform with something like S60 is a big advantage, especially as we move towards phones becoming sort of providers of internet service, and that will, I suspect, be a key differentiator between Series 40 and S60. Yes, I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting to watch in the next year. And I know we're coming up on the 30 minutes bit of the podcast, so I guess we should draw it to a close. But just to say, next week I'll be reporting from Nokia World, and we should have a podcast following on from that where we'll report on all the new news, and I'm sure Steve and Ewan will have plenty of opinion about the stuff getting announced there. But for this week, I think we should call All About Symbian Insight number 50. Call it a day and say thank you very much for listening, everybody. From me, Rafe Blanford.
From me, Steve Litchfield.
And from me, the crowd. Sorry, Ewan Spence.
Yay!
Whee!